Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. Kids, I think God gives them as a gift, doesn't he? A gift to us. I also think he gives them to us to humble us often, doesn't he? We're very humbled by our kids sometimes, by the choices that they make, by the things that they say, especially when they're young and they're learning what to say in public and what not to say in public. And if you can't stand and point fingers at me this morning of what's about to happen, because you probably face it too if you're a parent. We were in Target one day. Charlie was much younger, and he's 9 now. He was probably 3. And Charlie's always been a talker. He always has been very bubbly, getting to know people, and he loves it. So Charlie is in the cart, and we're walking through Target, and we turned a corner, and there was a rather large person bent over in the aisle. We didn't think anything of it. Charlie, on the other hand, did. So this person was bent over. Charlie decides loudly to proclaim, "Yikes! Yikes!" And me and my soul said, "Yikes!" And I don't think I've ever turned a cart around so quick and gone to any other aisle at all. Charlie thought nothing of it. I said, "Let's get out of here as quickly. We can go to Macy's. I don't care. We're going anywhere else but Target." I find myself constantly thinking, even now as the kids have gotten older, and now they know better and they still like to embarrass their old man, which that's probably because I like to embarrass them as well. If I can walk funny down the aisle at Stop and Shop or do some dumb dance move when there's people around just to embarrass them, I will. So maybe they're just getting back at me. But I find myself constantly thinking something along these lines anytime I'm out with my kids. I hope my kids don't do anything embarrassing today. You know, not in a mean way, but more of like, oh man, your face gets red. And although we are very different, our stories are all different. We all come from different backgrounds. In certain ways, we're all the same. The truth is, like I said, you know, that funny story, I hope my kids don't do anything embarrassing today. The truth is, church, although we're all very different, in a lot of ways we're the same, and here's one way that we're the same. All of us live our lives based on hope. All of us are hoping in something. We are hardwired for hope. All of us. Each of us find our identity, our purpose, our meaning, our inner sense of well-being in something. No, that something was probably going to be different. But the truth is, all of us, the way we were created by a holy God, we are hardwired to place our hope in something. Maybe for you it's, I hope I don't lose my job. I hope that my kids turn out okay or are doing okay. I hope that my marriage gets better and is salvaged and is rescued. I hope that I can pay the bills this month. I hope that I can find a place to live and get a house. If you live on the Cape, that's probably a big hope. I hope I can get a house. Maybe you're in college classes. Or I hope I can pass my classes and get this degree so I can better my life. I hope I get better. Maybe it's a physical ailment. I hope I get better. Maybe as a pastor, I hope more people come to church. I hope the church grows. We place our hope in something. What did you hope for this week? Think about it in your mind. This past week, what did you hope in? What did you hope for? What or who did you place your hope in? And it is important to recognize this and acknowledge that in your life, because your life is shaped by what you hope in. Let me say that again. Write it down. Your life is shaped by what you place your hope in, or who you place your hope in. Here's the truth, church. Whatever you put your hope in, you also give it the power to destroy you. Think about that. Whatever you put your hope in, you give that something or someone the power to destroy you. If your hope is solely in your job and your career and you lose that job, you are suddenly hopeless. If your hope is in your spouse and they fail you, and they sin against you, or they don't do what you want them to do, but your hope is in them, then you're hopeless when they fail you. If your hope is in moving to a new place, starting a new life, getting a new home, and you get to that new part of your life and it's just as bad as the old one, you are suddenly hopeless. If your hope is in your kids and they turn out not the way you expect, they disappoint you, you are hopeless. What you placed your hope in, you give the power to destroy you. Your life is shaped, church, by what you place your hope in. So when we place our hopes, listen, when we place our hopes in things down here, in things of this earth, we set ourselves up for failure. We set ourselves up for defeat. We set ourselves up for discouragement. Horizontal hope, hope that we can find around us here on earth. Horizontal hope is never sturdy. It's wobbly. It's not a firm foundation. Horizontal hope is never sturdy. It won't last. It does not come through for us. Paul said this, though, in his letter to the Colossians. Paul said, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Hear me this morning, church. Hope is not a location. It's not a new place, a new job. Hope is not a feeling. Hope is not an insight. Hope is not a possession, something you can hold on to. Hope is not an experience. Listen, hope is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. That is what hope is. Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 this morning. Would you go there? Romans chapter 5. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. If you don't, use your phone. There's Bibles in front of you in the little sleeves there in front of you underneath the chair. You can grab a Bible. Romans chapter 5. I want you to follow along with me this morning as we read the first 8 verses. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul says this. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah for that. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, verse 3, but we glory in tribulations also. Think about that phrase. We glory in tribulations. When things go wrong, when we face trials of life, we glory in those. We rejoice in those tribulations. Why? Knowing also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. When we face these challenges in life, when we rest in Christ, it builds patience in us. I can tell you 100% a fact that I am a more patient person while raising my son Seth with severe nonverbal autism. It has made me, God has given me a greater patience with not just him, but in life in general. Tribulation worketh patience. Verse 4, and patience, experience. When we go through these tribulations and it builds patience in us, we experience these. We have things we can look back on. We learn, experience, and experience hope. Hope. Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But verse 8, you may know this verse, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is our hope. That is our hope. He is our hope. Why can we live lives of sturdy hope? Not this, shaky, well, it's going to fail us. No. Why can we as Christians, as children of God, as believers, live lives of sturdy hope? Because of what it says here in Romans 5:8. God loved me so much. Because God loved you so much, he made a way for us. He made a way for me to have access to him through his son Jesus. That right there in verse 1. Or verse 2, we have access to God through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross because of his death and resurrection. He took my place. And because of that, I and you can have a relationship with God the Father. That's the hope that maketh not ashamed. Or it's not going to put me to shame. It's not going to, that hope is not going to let me down. That is why we can live lives of sturdy hope. This series, This Is Our God, we've talked about all the things that God is and the names of God. Today, we're talking about the God who gives hope. Because some of you today are hopeless. You're hopeless. You got a good job, you got good family, but in your heart and in your soul, you live a life of hopelessness. You have forgotten who you are. You have forgotten who your Father is. He's the God who gives hope. Trials come in the life of a Christ follower, of a Christian. They do. I can look around the room right now, especially my church people that are here, and I know the trials that you face. I know the heartaches that you've borne. I've known what you've gone through. Trials, what do? They build endurance in us. If we don't let them control us, if we rest in Christ, if we do our best by the grace of God to rest in God, they build endurance to face challenges in the future. And that endurance brings experience, which means that experience, the definition in the scriptures here is really what it is. It's a proven life of Christian character. That's what that word experience really means. And through that experience of leaning on Christ in those challenging times and tribulations and trials, what do? We find our secure hope, and it's Jesus every time. That is the sturdy hope. We will face trials. We will face disappointment. We will face defeat. But Jesus is our hope. And when we rest in Him, when we face these trials and we build endurance by the grace of God, and we have this experience where even though it's hard, even though it's difficult, I'm going to trust Christ. I'm going to live holy. I'm going to follow God. It builds a secure hope. And it's Jesus every time. So when I do lose my job, I don't have to be hopeless. When my marriage seems to be crumbling, I don't have to be hopeless. If my kids decide, God forbid, to go against all they've been taught and turn their backs on me and turn their backs on God, I don't have to be hopeless. If the bank account is low or empty, I don't have to be hopeless because I am not placing my hope in those things. Jesus is my hope, and it's the God who gives hope. It doesn't mean that all those things are just going to automatically get better, by the way, because I decided to hope in Jesus. I'm hoping in Jesus. Oh my goodness, my bank account is full again. Oh, I'm going to hope in Jesus. Oh my goodness, my wife's being so kind to me. By the way, she is kind to me all the time. I'm the jerk in the relationship, by the way. For example's sake. Oh, I'm hoping in Jesus. My kids decided to not be prodigal anymore. That's wonderful. Just because we decide to hope in Christ, they're not going to automatically be better because I'm not placing my hope in them. I still may be jobless. My marriage still might be on the rocks. My bank account may still be empty, but Jesus is enough. He is my hope. We sang it together. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone. Everything, Jesus, who you are, is enough. We sang it this morning. I can get up in the morning and still find joy in the sorrow because it's Jesus. He's my joy. I can find a light in the darkness because Jesus is the light of the world. I can find a song in the silence of life. When life seems to just, nothing is going my way, I can still sing a song of praise like Paul and Silas singing in the prison, praising God in chains. I can still sing because of Jesus. He is my living hope. That's Jesus. It's a great little book in the Old Testament. It's in Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a tiny book that, the truth be told, if we're being honest, we don't really read it that often. You can kind of forget it's there. Habakkuk. Unless you really like the book, you may go back to it. But if you're a new Christian, or maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, it's easy to go to the Gospel of John and the epistles and even the, obviously the Psalms and the Proverbs, but Habakkuk. It's a short 3-chapter book. And the prophet Habakkuk, in this book of the Bible, is having a conversation with God about the state of God's people, the Israelites, the Jews. The leaders in Judah were wicked, wicked men. And Habakkuk is asking God, why are you allowing this? Why are you letting the leaders of your people reign so wickedly? He's very concerned. Habakkuk, this prophet of God, this preacher, is concerned about it. What's going on? And God answers Habakkuk in this book and tells him that he's sending the Chaldeans, an enemy of their people. He's sending the Chaldeans to them to punish them and to take care of this problem of them not following God, living wickedly. So Habakkuk gets even more upset. He's like, well, that wasn't my idea, God. He's like, the Chaldeans are even worse and more wicked than the leaders in Judah right now. So it's only making the problem worse. Like, what are we doing here? And God's answer to Habakkuk is simply this. He says, you just need to trust me. And I don't have time to go through all the scriptures there, but I'm going to read the last part of the book in a minute. But God's answer in those short chapters, basically, is he's telling Habakkuk, just trust me. Just trust me. I'm always right. I don't make mistakes. Trust me. He's the God that gives hope. He says, I know it doesn't make sense to you, Habakkuk, but trust me. And after some more dialogue between God and the prophet Habakkuk in that small book, Habakkuk closes his book and finishes up his small, short book with some powerful words that we would all do well applying in our lives. And it's at the end of the book of Habakkuk in the last verses. And this is what Habakkuk says. I'll read you the scriptures. Think about it for a minute. The people of God, God's chosen people, living wickedly. Their leaders are wicked. God's going to send the enemy of God's people to them. It doesn't make a lot of sense to Habakkuk. But after talking to God and deciding to trust him, this is what he says. Habakkuk says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. There shall be no herd in the stalls. He's really, talking about all the bad things that are going to happen. And after he says all that, he says this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hind's feet. He will make me to walk upon high places. Habakkuk decided to trust, to place his hope, not in the leaders of their people, but in God, and not just in God, but in God's plan, even when it didn't make a lot of sense to him. It does not matter, church, what's going on in your life. Whatever's going on does not matter. If your hope is set on God and on what Christ has done in you and what he's doing in you, no matter what you're facing, if your hope is set on him, you will be okay. Some of you, that's what you need to hear today. You've been waiting for a word from the Lord, and I'm here to give it to you today. If you put your hope in God, no matter what you're facing, if you put your hope in God, you will be okay. You will be okay. It doesn't mean the problem's going to go away, by the way. But if you place your hope in God, you will be okay. Because when you place your hope in something else, what are you really asking of that thing? What are you asking of that person? That job, that experience that you so want to have, that promotion, that achievement, you're hoping in those things. What are you asking of that? That full bank account, what are you asking of that? You're asking that person or thing or job promotion or whatever, you're asking that to give you peace of heart. You're asking that to give you meaning or purpose. You're asking that spouse or job promotion or full bank account or experience or whatever, you're asking it to give you a reason to go on, to give you rest at night and joy in the morning, to free you. You're asking that thing to free you from your anxiety that cripples you. You're asking that thing to help you get through difficulty. That's a lot to ask of anything. That is a lot to ask of anything. So here's the reality, church. If your hope disappoints you, you've got the wrong hope. If your hope disappoints you, you got the wrong hope, because nothing can do all that for you except Jesus. Peace of heart is only found in Jesus. Meaning and purpose is only found, truly found in Jesus Christ, in the God who gives hope. When all else falls apart, and it will, when all else falls apart, Jesus is there to help you continue. Jesus said, he said, the words are written in red. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is Jesus, not your spouse, not your job promotion. It is Jesus who can free us from anxiety and from depression and who carries us through difficulty, because he's the God who gives hope. We got to stop wasting our energy. I got to stop wasting my energy on hoping in things that can't even compete with Jesus Christ. What am I thinking? What am I doing? Listen, the truth is, church, if you're saved, you've already got the hope inside you. Jesus is our hope. And the quality, the characteristic of Jesus that gives us hope is what we sang about today, his trustworthiness. His trustworthiness. He can be trusted. He will never fail. He will never fail. And because of that, we have hope, and it's him. So when I decide to complain about my job, and when I decide to complain about my coworkers and about how I wish my job was better and I wish my job was different and I wish this, I wish that, am I hoping in Christ in that moment? When I can't sleep at night because of stress over financial challenges or financial difficulty or what's going to happen, what am I going to do? When I just can't sleep and I'm letting that control me, am I resting in the hope that is Jesus Christ? When I walk through life fearful of the future, worried about, let's just say for me personally, worried about how far my son Seth will progress with his autism diagnosis, and is he going to, am I ever going to be able to have a conversation with him? I mean, a real conversation with him. And I let that control me. And I let it bring me down to a dark place, because when you start going down that road, guess who picks up on it? Oh, the enemy. He's like, oh, Donald's struggling right now. Let's kick him while he's down. Let's make it worse. Let's put even scarier thoughts in there. Let me throw this at him. Man, let me throw this at him. And I start, boom, boom. If I'm not careful, man, I'm weighed down. Am I hoping in Christ? Subconsciously, unknowingly, often, when we do things like that, we are placing our hope in something that won't ever satisfy. After all our unsatisfying hopes disappear, we are left with our only true heart's desire. And what is it in the heart of every human? We just want life. I don't mean physical life, sure, but I mean life in our souls. Authentic, real, heart-changing, heart-satisfying life. The scriptures talk about it being abundant life. That's what we want. That's what we search for in all these things, whether it be a job or an addiction. We're looking for life. We're looking for fulfillment. And like I've said, that can only be found in Jesus. In Jesus, in Jesus Christ. People may love and respect me, but they can't give me life. I love my wife, thank God. We've been through a lot together, 15 years next May. Hallelujah for my wife. She's God's woman for me. I'm so grateful. But guess what? I can't find life in Marissa. She can't find life and purpose in me, because guess what? I have failed her. Job promotions may make me feel good and secure, but they can't give me life. Situations can make life easier, sure, more comfortable, but they can't give me life. Only Jesus, only God. He's the God who gives hope. In church, we have to stop running. We have to stop searching. We have to stop settling. We settle for lesser things. We settle for things that can't give us life. They may give us some comfort for a minute. They may give us some brief satisfaction for a moment. They may give us some pockets of happiness. We settle for lesser things. We got to quit it. You're never going to find life anywhere else And also, Christian, you're called to show the hope of Jesus to others. And you can't do that by hoping in something else. You can show the hope of Jesus Christ by living in the hope of Jesus yourself, especially in the midst of heartache and trial. When you stop hoping in everything else, start resting in the hope only found in Him, let me tell you, people will see it. People will take notice and they'll say, something's different about Kelly. Something's different about Fran. Something's different about Mercy and Darren. Man, they're going through this, but they still have some peace. Something's different about Justin. You work with those guys at the shop, they're like, man, how does he keep it together? Well, I'll tell you how. Jesus Christ. When you start hoping in Jesus, people will take notice. Lives will be changed. God will be glorified. There's a beautiful old hymn that says this, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ. On Christ, God help me, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. And guess what? All other ground is sinking sand. It's time to put your hope in Jesus Christ. Not in your spouse, not in your kids, not in your job, not in an addiction. Place your hope in Jesus by making Him your only hope. He's the God who gives. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this, to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.